Praise be to God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this is for you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now this is powerful, because he says, okay, so you're a believer. Well, the word believe means to follow. So if you're a follower of Christ Jesus, you're actually walking in the Spirit. And he said, those who proclaim to be believers, there's no condemnation, no condemning. In other words, eternal damnation. To those who are walking in the Spirit, but to those who are walking in the flesh, there is. Let's go to the next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he what? He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who what? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there is a spiritual law. He says, look it. You want to make it home? Walk according to the Spirit. You don't want to go home? Walk according to the flesh. Real simple. Now, I want to go to Galatians chapter 5 so that you know what the flesh is. Galatians chapter 5. Remember, those who walk according to the Spirit and those who walk according to the flesh. In other words, those who walk according to the flesh are walking according to the world, and those who are walking according to the Spirit are walking according to the will of God. In verse 16, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law, and that law is sin, death, and hell. Now the works of the flesh are evident. So he's going to tell you what the works of the flesh are. These are the things that displease God. He says adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, that means drugs, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and anything like this, of which I've told you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things, those who what? Practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God or eternal life. That's the works of the flesh. So we are either living according to the way the world lives, or we're living according to the way God says to live. One or the other. Now, as for a believer, the desire of a believer is to please their Creator. Amen? If you're truly a believer, your desire is to please God, not please you. This and in the response of pleasing a Creator, it's because we have a great gratitude and thankfulness because we want to please Him. We are very grateful and we have a good gratitude. This, in other words, in this first response, because we're so thankful. Amen. And your second response is because you were rescued. And in this rescue, we certainly don't want God to create us in vain. Amen? We don't want to be created in vain. So we want to be well-pleasing to the Lord. That's our goal. And if you truly are a believer, your heart has a desire to please God and do whatever it takes. This type of response is promoted by a humble spirit. Everyone say humble spirit. Causing a person to walk according to the Spirit. A humble spirit will cause a person to walk according to the Spirit of God. But a prideful spirit is reacting according to the flesh. So a humble spirit, a person that's humble because they are a believer and they desire to please God. Everything they think about, every decision they make, their life is set on pleasing God. Lord, what am I doing right now? Am I pleasing you? My decision I'm about to do, is that pleasing you? Has everybody got this? See, if you truly are a believer of Jesus Christ, your heart is set in pleasing him. If it's not, you're deceived. James chapter 4. Remember, only those who live according to the Spirit, only those who live according to the Spirit will please God, and there'll be no condemnation. But those who live according to the flesh do not please God, and there will be condemnation. I don't care if you accepted Jesus Christ 30 years ago. If you're still walking according to the flesh, there's condemnation. Because if you're walking according to the flesh, you have broken covenant with God. And you're not his. You may think you're his, but you're going to be well surprised when you stand before him. James chapter 4. Is everybody okay? You want to hear the truth, right? In verse 4. James 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy, but he gives more grace? Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the what? He gives grace to the humble. In other words, friendship with pride is of the world. Friendship with pride is of the world, which is the family of the Antichrist spirits. This makes a person an enemy of God, because the Antichrist spirit is an enemy of God. Has everybody got it? The Antichrist spirits are not just one spirit. There is not just one Antichrist. The Bible talks about many Antichrists. Amen? And it says that God resists the proud. Why? Because it's Antichrist. But he gives grace, or he gives his plan to the humble, because the word grace means the plan of God. Go to verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Again, God resists the proud, but he gives grace, or his plan, to the humble. The humble resist the devil because they submit to the plan of God. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. That means you must submit to the will of God. Amen? So when you're submitting to the will of God, you are able to resist the powers of darkness. So you may say, well, I don't know what the will of God is. That's why you're to learn what it is. Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or knowing his will. Remember, freedom is learned. Grace is not some kind of mystical, magical thing. Grace is the plan of God to escape the deception of Satan's plan and his wickedness, and escape also the wrath of God. Because if you can't escape Satan's deception, you end up in the wrath of God. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. So there's something that we must maintain. It's called a humble spirit. And in this humble spirit, it's what's going to separate you from the world. Because the world carries the prideful spirit. And those who truly believe carry a humble spirit. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Let's speak it together. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and what? Settle you, so you, that you are immovable. Again, the devil promotes pride to resist the will of God in your life. Does everybody understand that? The devil promotes pride to resist the will of God in your life. God promotes the humble spirit or humility to resist the devil. All things will come in God's time. Has everybody got it? Everything is in God's time. But when we are prideful, there's always delays. There's what? Always delays. Go to Philippians 2. So there's an area where we must maintain a humble spirit. Philippians chapter 2, in verse 1. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, and any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being what? By being what? Like-minded. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. He says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. That's one of the things God is trying to get his body to be right now, is like-minded. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking a form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of a man. And being found in appearance as a man, he what? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So he says, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. So we're to be like-minded with a humble spirit in submission, in obedience, and fear of God. In submission to God, in obedience to God, and in the fear of God. And in this humble spirit of submission, obedience, and fear, the first key is to be honest in all things. To be what? Honest in all things. That's the first key of maintaining a humble spirit, is to be honest. The second key is to examine your motive. Always examine your motive. So you're to be honest and you're to examine your motive. Why am I doing what I'm doing? What is my motive? And when somebody asks you a question, you must be honest. Amen? You do not lie or exaggerate to get what you want. That is called pride. And there's no such thing as a white lie. It's all dark. It's all darkness. Has everybody got it? A lie is a lie. And those who lie are known as a sinner. And the wages of sin is death, hell, and the grave. Is everybody all right? So we either become like-minded with the humble spirit. Again, the first key is to be honest in all things. The second key is to examine your motives. And the third key is to maintain abiding. And in the abiding, there's three things that we abide in. His presence, through worship and praise. Abide in His word, through prayer and study. And abide in a fellowship. There's no lone rangers out there. You can't make it on your own. It's impossible. Amen? So those are the three areas of abiding. You know, many people go, well, God knows my heart. Yes, He does. And He's trying to expose it to you. Because you don't even know your own heart. We may think we do, but we don't. The Word tells us that our heart is wicked. That's why we need a new one. Amen? And Satan's greatest weapon is deception. So he's going to try to deceive you on a constant to become prideful so that you react according to the flesh. And then when you react according to the flesh, you submit to Satan's kingdom. And who you serve when you die is where you go. This is all doctrine. Is everybody okay? Isaiah 57. Well, I never heard this doctrine. It's because you don't read it. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Let's speak it together. For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a what? Contrite and humble spirit. In other words, a contrite is repentant, sorrowful. So the Lord dwells with him who has a repentant and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Wow. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me and the souls which I have made. So in other words, he dwells with those who have a repentant spirit. In other words, you know when you make a mistake, you say, Lord, forgive me. Because we're not perfect. Amen? Lord, forgive me. But see, if you don't have a relationship with him, if you truly don't have a relationship with him, you won't be repentant. You will think you never sinned. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, did you lie, exaggerate? Did you touch something unclean? Did you cuss? See, the world, did you drink and get drunk? Did you use drugs? Did you laugh at a perverse joke? Were you a promoter of abortion? Do you promote same-sex marriage? All of these things, what you agree with, you are judged by. Everybody got it? What you agree with, you are judged by. The most sacred place of a child is in the woman's womb. It's supposed to be the most protective place. Yet it is Holocaust in this country. God dwells with the contrite and humble spirit. But thank God that we can repent. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is of mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals on the fire of his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, this is a response of a humble spirit. He says, associate with those who carry a humble spirit and not a prideful spirit. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1. Let's speak this together. Moses gathered the people together and he said, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to what? To humble you and to what? Test you. To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to what? Hunger or lack, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to what? And to what? Fear him. The word fear here means reverence, respect, and honor him. Go to Matthew 23. Maintaining a humble spirit. You know, Satan's doctrine and the satanic Bible, the scripture that sets it all off in his Bible says, do what thou feel like. It's called pride. Has everybody got it? In the satanic Bible, it says, do what thou feel like. And you should see the drawing that he made of the visitation he had, which we saw last night. The visitation, what's his name? Anton. Yeah, Anton. And, Anton something, what was it? LaVey? Anton LaVey. And he drew a picture of the visitation that he had, of the person he had a visitation from, that showed him how to write the Bible. And it was a demon. Looked like one of those goofy aliens, which are demons. People call them aliens, but they're actually demons. And there are aliens. They're called demons. Hallelujah. And they do have technology, and we're not getting into that today. Wow. Hallelujah. Matthew 23. Do what thou feel like, and you can go right to hell. Hallelujah. Let's start with verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitude and his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their," whatever that is, "phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, 'Rabbi, Rabbi.' But you do not be called a rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be" what? "Exalted." Daniel chapter 10. Verse 10. 10:10. Let's speak it. "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And Daniel heard him say, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. And stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to" what? "Humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Anybody want to have God hear your words? Amen. "Then you must set your heart to understand and humble yourself." Is everybody okay? And then what happened? He said, "I have been sent to hear your words." You know, God hears everything, doesn't he? But he doesn't answer everything. Because he doesn't answer until a person sets their heart to understand and humbles themselves. The word says that God does not hear, or he does not answer the prayer of a sinner unless he repents first. But he hears the prayer of a worshiper. So we must set our heart to understand and humble ourselves so our words are heard. Proverbs 11 and verse 1. "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guard them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteous of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust." Whoa. Proverbs 16. "Maintaining a humble spirit." Again, that's what will separate you from the world. Proverbs 16 and verse 17. "The highway of the upright is to" what? "Depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to vile the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." Psalm 18. These are words of life. What you speak is what you eat. Psalm 18 and verse 25. Psalm 18 verse 25. Says, with the merciful you will show yourself mercy. With the blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure you will show yourself pure. And with the devious will you show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down the haughty looks. For you will light my lamp, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against the troop. By my God I can leap over the wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who what? Trust in him. Psalm 25. Maintaining a humble spirit. Psalm 25. In verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice. The humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is a man that fears the Lord? Him he shall teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of their nets. Psalm 149. In verse 1. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker, and the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name with a dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Wow. Psalm 81. Psalm 81. There was a shaking going on, and all that is not shaken will be shaken until God's people humble themselves, until man humbles himself. In verse 8, would you speak it with me? Psalm 81, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. The word Egypt here means the world. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people will not heed my voice, and Israel wouldn't have none of me. When God speaks of Israel, he's also speaking of the body of Christ. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, and that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies. I would turn my hand against adversaries. Verse 15, very powerful. It says, the haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. In other words, there is a place where people walk in false humility. You may see all of these other religions, and you may say, what a humble person. Well, he's humbling himself under a demon. So in God's eyes, that's called false humility. He considers that person a hater of the Lord, because only those who are submissive to the Lord are lovers of the Lord. Anyone not submissive to the Lord is a hater of the Lord. Does everybody understand that? So he says the haters of the Lord would pretend submission. This is with a false, humble spirit. It's a deceptive, humble spirit. but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock. I would have satisfied you. False humility, deceiving humble spirit, it is a form of godliness. Even Jesus said, many would come in my name. They are users and not submitters. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And they will be judged and condemned. You may think, well, man, this is pretty serious stuff. Yes, God is getting serious with the world. Time is running out. Everybody knows that something is about to happen. You know it. There's going to be a shift in government. There's going to be a change. Israel's going to be attacked. Israel's going to attack. There's going to be war. We are going to fulfill prophetic prophecy that has been established. We are in a time of birth pangs known as the beginning of sorrows. We're almost done with it. The next step, the next event is the beginning of tribulation, which is 7 years. The next feast is the Feast of Trumpets, which will remove the body of Christ from the earth, and the wrath of God will come. That's how close we are. It's time to awaken and get truth and know truth. It's a bad place to be if you don't make it home. If you're not caught up in the rapture and the removal of the church, you will go through hell on earth. You may be beheaded. But I encourage you, if you are left behind and we never see each other again, don't take the mark, whatever you do. Because once you take it, you're eternally damned. So I want you to grab hold of this. If we never see each other again, never take that mark if you are left behind. Never. Or you will lose eternal life with Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 12. Let's speak it together. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among the people, if my people who are called by my name would what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And that's what's happening in this country right now. There are many who are gathering together. Pastors and people are gathering together and humbling themselves and ask God, repenting for this land, and ask God to heal this land and to awaken the people so that they are not left behind. See, there's no coincidence that you're here today. You can do all the reasoning you want, but God set you up to hear this message so that you will awaken and get things right. So that you would humble yourself, repent, and turn towards the Lord. And to know His will, do His will, so you can make it home. Now, understand that in humbling ourselves so that God would heal this land, what we're coming against is Babylon. The world system is called Babylon. Has everybody got this? It is called Babylon. The world system is Babylon. And Babylon is ruled by Satan's kingdom. All governmental, all world systems, all ruling system is controlled by Satan's kingdom because Satan is the ruler of this earth. He's not the owner. He's the ruler. Now, Jesus disarmed him. Only to those who are submissive to Christ do you have dominion over him. If you are not submissive to Christ, Satan still rules you. And those who are a friend of the world are enemies of God. So your battle is against Satan's kingdom. You are fighting powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places. You are fighting demons, evil spirits, perverse and lustful spirits. And they are looking for a body, and you're their body. You are fighting spirits of fear and anxiety and stress and sickness and disease. Behind every one of these labels is a spirit of addiction. People call the word disease. They only know it as a sickness, but the word disease means not at ease. And when you are not at ease, that means there's an evil presence there. Sin is the presence of evil. God's presence is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Anything other than that is the presence of evil. Where there's torment, there's evil. And we overcome by the blood of Christ and the word of our testimony. But if you don't learn the ways and know how to use the weapons of God, how do you overcome? You'll be deceived like the rest of the world. But you are here today to know truth. Our battle is against Satan's kingdom. And Jesus has given us everything to overcome. But if you don't know what he's given you, how can you use it? You might be going to church and keeping your pew warm. You sit in the same seat every week. You're always learning, 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 but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You haven't cast out a devil, even the one that's in you. You haven't laid hands on the sick. See, the Bible says those who believe in my name will speak with new tongues. They will cast out devils. They will lay hands on the sick. They will be my witnesses, and signs will follow them. If you're truly a believer, or you're playing religion. And the word religion means bondage. That means that people come under a bondage of ritual instead of relationship. So we want to make a decree today. I want to go to Isaiah 13, and we are going to make a decree against the Babylonian system, which is the world system that Satan rules. Would you go there with me, please? Isaiah chapter 13, I'm sorry. Maintaining a humble spirit, if my people would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek the face of the Lord, I would heal their land. This country is in trouble. You know, the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. So I encourage you to, before you vote for anyone, that you know their fruit. If they promote abortion and same-sex marriage, and you vote for them, there's blood on your hands too. Isaiah 13 and verse 1. The burden against Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw. Let's speak this. Verse 2. Lift up a banner on the high mountain. Raise your voice to them. Wave your hand that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. Who's the sanctified ones? We are. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation. The noise of the multitude in the mountains, like that of many people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven. The Lord and his weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as a destruction from the mighty Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be limp. Every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord it comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He will destroy its sinners from it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth. The moon will not cause its light to shine. Listen, I want to share something with you. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but NASA sent up 2 satellites because the moon has shifted. It has turned 100-something degrees, and they don't know why. That's why we're having all kinds of strange weather now. The sun is out of its place, and they don't know why. They're blown away. It's everything is being prepared. Can you imagine? They've taken pictures of the moon has shifted. And it stayed in its same shift. It's no longer in its place where it used to be. The sun is no longer in its place where it used to be. And NASA sent up satellites to find out what's going on. I'm going to tell you what's going on. Jesus is coming. It's going to, see, that shift had to happen so that it would change weather on the earth. Because the Bible says that there will be storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes in all various places. We've got more earthquakes and tornadoes and all kinds of things, tsunamis and all kinds of things happening now than we've ever had. And it's going to increase. Are you ready? In verse 11. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, and man more than golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. It shall be as a haunted gazelle and as a sheep that no man takes up. Every man will turn to his own people and everyone will flee to his own land. Everyone who is found will be thrust through. Everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, who will not regard silver, and as for gold, they will not delight in it. Also their bowls will dash the young men to pieces, and they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye will not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation. Nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there. But wild beasts of the deserts will lie there, and their houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats will caper there. The hyenas will howl in their citadels, the jackals in their pleasant palaces. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. We are close. It is time. Awaken from your sleep. Shakings are about to increase. Be prepared. Maintain a humble spirit. And I can tell you that in your relationship with the Lord, you'll make it through. But God is raising up warriors right now. Warriors. Warriors to battle, to rescue, who are no longer fighting for their life, but they're fighting for the life of Christ. Because we are going to stand before Him soon. Very soon. So I encourage you, get ready and watch prophecy be fulfilled before your eyes. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. For you will give grace to the humble. You will give your plan. You will reveal your secrets to the humble. As you reveal them to even us today. So, Master, we bless your holy name. We exalt the name above all names, Jesus, who answers and shows great and mighty things, who will show us the hidden secrets of darkness, who exposes the enemy's plans, who empowers us and gives us vision and dreams, gives us sight, gives us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive and obey. Lord, we call on you today. Prepare us. Establish us. Perfect us. Position us. And let us be ready to battle for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.